Today's program is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. Did you know that Wisconsin wins more national and international cheese awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit wisconsincheese.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show tracing the stories behind your favorite Asian dishes. I'm your host, Linda Liu. We are broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Every episode, we dig deep on a dish or an aspect of Asian cuisine, and we interview experts on the topic. Today, we're talking about sesame noodles and the family that made it a staple in New York City's culinary landscape. They helped define Chinese cuisine since the 60s, pioneering the craze for Sichuanese in a city that then knew Chinese mostly as monotonous, starchy, Americanized Cantonese. So, the story starts with Shorty Tang. Yunfa Tang, also known as Shorty Tang, was born in the Sichuan province of China and started cooking in kitchens from an early age. During China's Civil War, he fled to Taipei in 1949 with a Kuomintang general as part of his staff. This happened when the Kuomintang was defeated by the Communist Party. Following the war, Shorty Tang and his family opened and operated several popular restaurants and food carts in Taipei, one named Hua Yuan. An American businessman frequented the restaurant very often, and he loved it so much that he offered Shorty and his family sponsorship for immigration to the United States. Shorty Tang opened several restaurants and eventually opened the original Hua Yuan on East Broadway, Chinatown, in 1968. Frequent regular customers at Hua Yuan included a loyal Chinatown base, but also celebrities like Steve McQueen, Lauren Bacall, David Letterman, Woody Allen, and more. When Shorty Tang's son, Chen Lie Tang, finished his army service and immigrated to the U.S., he worked up the ranks. He worked as a dishwasher, delivery boy, waiter, sous chef, cook, and chef at Hua Yuan. With his father, Shorty Tang's untimely and sudden death, Chef Tang took over the family business and he began to run Hua Yuan. From the 70s to 90s, he continued to run Hua Yuan as a family business and opened numerous other restaurants throughout the five boroughs and Connecticut. In 1992, the Bank of China became the tenant of the East Broadway location, and Hua Yuan was closed. When the Bank of China moved out in 2014, the City Landmark Committee Chair and Executive Director of the Chinatown Partnership, Wellington Chen, he approached Chef Chen with the Chef Tang with the idea of reopening Hua Yuan to help revitalize the heart of Chinatown and bring back some of the original Chinese cuisine that seemed to have disappeared from Chinatown. After extensive renovations, Hua Yuan is now back on the map. Okay, so wow, what an incredible story that spans many generations. Here in the studio with me, I'm excited to welcome Chef Tang and his son, James Tang. So happy to have you guys.
Thank you for having us. It's great to be here.
I'm very happy to be here. I'm so shocked.
Okay. So we're talking about sesame noodles. Could you guys tell listeners who have not had the pleasure of trying them what this dish looks like and what it tastes like?
Sure. So the New York Times actually credited my grandfather with bringing it over to the United States when he came over. And it doesn't look like any of the sesame noodles that you're used to seeing in Chinese restaurants around the United States. The sauce is a lot more lathery. It's not as chunky and not as peanut buttery. And the taste is smoother with an after tinge of spice. And those are the Sichuan peppers kicking in. I think my dad could tell you a little bit more about how it's made and how it comes out of the kitchen.
Yeah, the cold noodle sesame sauce is very popular in the Sichuan mm-hmm. because the Sichuan province, the weather is very hot and humid. Mm-hmm. In the summertime, then nobody can eat a hot noodle. Mm-hmm. So they create a cold noodle sesame sauce, cold noodle. So I remember I was young, I was in Taiwan, and we have a restaurant now. And my father always created a cold noodle sesame sauce, and everybody loved it. You know, so I didn't really recognize that time what's going on. Mm-hmm. By the time I come into the United States, and I didn't know it's so popular already. So the
thanks to Dad.
Yes, right. I didn't really pay attention. I was young, you know, mm-hmm. because I really not kind of crazy about cold noodle sauce. I was like a beef noodle soup the kind of kid.
Yeah.
And everybody. Rick loved the cold noodle sesame sauce. And one of the day, I remember I worked in the kitchen, 40th Broadway. Mm-hmm. And we after order and after sauce. And I see my father make the quick sauce, put it all together. And I just play like a dummy. I put my finger, dump in there, put it in my mouth. Then I think, my God, it's really good. Mm-hmm. And that making me decide to say, okay, Dad, teach me.
Yeah.
How to do it. So my father said, you put your love in there, care about it, because then you stick it, then you follow the sauce. So that's what I learned.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. Yeah. And what about the noodles themselves? Is it like a flour-based, egg-based kind of noodle? Is it thin? Is it thicker? What kind of noodle do you like to use?
When the time I was in Taipei, was young, we used all use flour, white flour noodle. And they use different noodle at the time, you know. By the time I come to stay, working with my father, probably they don't have the kind of called white noodle. Right now they have, but my father started to use the egg noodle.
Egg noodles.
Egg noodle is more cute, more things. And since the day, we always use egg noodle, you know. And you told me why, I don't know, but maybe probably people accept it. That's mm-hmm. why we still use the egg noodle.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's got a great consistency there.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, it is, yeah.
Okay, so I know, you know, it's going to be hard to talk about like a secret recipe.
Sure.
But how much of it can you share? What goes into the sauce? How do you find the right balance? What makes a good cold sesame noodle dish?
You need a lot of sesame seed pasta. You need mm-hmm. some little peanuts. You can't too much because mm-hmm. balance out.
Okay.
But most important, you need a lot of fresh garlic.
Okay. Right.
You need a balance out. Use rice soy sauce. We also only one brand soy sauce. Then put a rice sugar and vinegar. So you balance those things. Depends. And plus, you have to use chicken soup. No. So every time, sometimes they change because weather change, something change.
Mm-hmm.
I have to add more soy sauce or add more sugar. But like I said before, when I make this sauce, I'm very careful and love. And I really concentrate.
Yeah, how much sauce do you make every day?
I make one pot a day.
Okay.
Probably like 5 gallon.
Wow.
But I remember when 40 East Broadway, old place, you probably make a 10 gallon a day. It's mm-hmm. really so much they sold.
Yeah, I mean, it is winter now, so come summer, who knows, you might have to up that amount.
Oh, maybe double work, poor Jamie work.
Okay. Yeah, so how it's like a family business. How are you guys, you know, dividing your roles?
Sure. So, you know, when I grew up, I never thought I'd be in the restaurant business, to be honest. And it wasn't until my you know, my dad had been retired for about 15 years. He'd been out of the restaurant business, and he'd been spending his time between China, Taipei, and New York. And it wasn't until Wellington Chan came to us and wanted the restaurant open again to revitalize Chinatown that I sort of even thought about helping out a little bit. So I began helping out a little bit with like the planning and maybe some of the marketing and some of the, you know, the legal stuff. And then, you know, the more and more the project progressed, I found myself more and more working on the restaurant.
Yep.
You know, I never thought I'd be a restaurateur, but, you know, now I'm a restaurateur. And what's even cooler is that, you know, working with my dad, you know, I've got to know him a lot better in adulthood, a lot more than I did in childhood. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the best takeaway of working in the family business.
Oh, what a great personal experience.
No, I have a totally different idea at the time.
Oh, okay.
And because,
please share.
Yeah, because when Jamie's young, I always give a knife, say, Jamie, learn how to cut a knife. Uh-huh. I have the different knife, Japanese knife, you name it, because I love use the knife. But Jamie didn't pay attention. But it's okay when she's young, probably pay attention with a little friend. But when I semi-retired in the Asia, and I probably every few months I back from the Asia, back in New York. And I went to all the different restaurants, like some old Chinese restaurant, like Masri, mm-hmm. and any restaurant, including French. I told Chus, I really can recognize they have good quality food. No, because then that makes me very depressed because, especially in Chinatown, mm-hmm. they used to have a lot of good Chinese restaurants in Chinatown.
Yeah, so like when you came back to visit James, and you're
I don't think the Chinatown have really good quality food. I can't judgment, but mm-hmm. people that have judgment and stuff. And I feel like, okay, and I can't find a good restaurant I want to go eat. Mm-hmm. And when I back in China, move out, that's the reason I back. And I say I want to still list out people. I don't want to be restaurant because I know it is hardworking.
Yeah.
And especially I didn't know
it's done it before.
Yes, and I finally get out of, you know, the kind of situation. But back in Wellington, so I said, Tan, come on. I know him so many years. He's uh-huh. a very, very gentleman, nice guy. Uh-huh. And even Hansen
and me. He knows how to convince
you. Yeah, even Hansen told me, but I still very, you know, okay. nice guy. And by the time, finally, I can refuse because we work something together. Then I start, so, okay, let's try to do it again, bring Hua Yuan back. Mm-hmm. And we went to somebody very famous into this restaurant, the designer, but she didn't hope us because we told the guys that, listen, hope us rebuild Chinatown. We mm-hmm. need. So, but finally I started rebuild this restaurant. And I found somebody, I don't think they know what I want. So I take over. I design the whole restaurant. Mm-hmm. I went to China so many times, 6 times for design each play wallpaper.
Yep. So you lighting. Went from chef to designer, interior designer.
I enjoy every detail. I still today, even our restaurant, all the flower arrangement.
Oh,
you know,
oh.
Every flower arrangement because I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I told my staff, or told Jamie too, if you want in the restaurant business, only thing you be careful is you have to love people.
Yeah.
You have to share with people. If you hate, don't do restaurant business because it is a lot of work. It's a lot of hustle, mm-hmm. but you have to pay attention, right?
Let's to every detail.
Every detail. Like, you don't know how much detail I care about. And when I back, I don't really hard work in the kitchen, but I'm getting older and working harder. And right now I'm in the kitchen, I push everybody, like, you know, smash everybody, because I want to bring back some really tradition Sichuan food. Mm-hmm. And I think that I try to do my duty, rebuild Chinatown. Because East Broadway used to call restaurant block 50 years ago. They have 10, 15 restaurants in there. Mm-hmm. Every weekend.
Yeah, that's exciting energy.
Yes.
No longer.
50 years ago, it's East Broadway. Everybody from Brooklyn, New Jersey, every weekend. Let's just automatically go to East Broadway, try the different
food. That's so cool.
It's fun. Very, very fun. And I remember some restaurant in March, you can open at 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Turns and into like a club or something.
It's like we call it a real, like a one area. Mm-hmm. And Chinatown is tourist area. Chinatown should have more good restaurants. Mm-hmm. I wish all the good restaurant owner or chef back to Chinatown, no matter any kind of food, Italian food, Chinese food, Japanese, any kind of food.
Right.
Because this is for tourist area. Mm-hmm. It's for New York City, for downtown. So finally, I agree, we opened that one. And I bring by Jamie because I do a little trick. because I think that Jimmy should not invite the restaurant. I want he invite a politician. I want he run the city council, whatever, run in Chinatown. Hope all the downtown.
Wow.
Because he's part ambition. Of the Chinese. But this is my playlist one. I really want he run because I want he really done something for downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Because don't forget, Chinatown is our home. And I hope this home can keep continue. Mm-hmm. And hope the city will help us rebuild Chinatown.
Yeah.
Because I don't know city notable how many years in Chinatown bring the tourists back to Chinatown. Many people back to Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
And city never think about. Right?
Yeah.
I think the China's most grabbed more tourists compared everywhere.
Right.
And the city never really pay attention. But Chinatown, why they're so popular, you know that. But most important thing is Chinatown is near downtown, Wall Street area, everywhere, nearby. And plus, the Chinatown should have the best food, best vegetable, best supermarket.
Yeah, you've basically seen Chinatown in its glory days.
Yes, right.
And so you know what it's capable of.
I feel like very peaceful and happy right now because I was growing up in Chinatown. And I found out like Chinatown right now, we have a lot of Caucasian movie in there. I'm so happy right now. Means we are global already and the people recognize us. A lot of Caucasian young kids live in the downtown East Broadway. And the weekend can see the stand in the Chinatown coffee shop. And why do you go to Chinatown supermarket? You see a lot of young generation, Caucasian, Chinese, Asian, they move in the shopping. They found this best supermarket, anything in me, everything in Chinatown. It's fun. It's home. It's like a really, we call it a living style. We don't live in some place. I don't say any place is not good or bad. Some place
you're biased.
I'm too old-fashioned.
Yeah, okay.
When I get old, I can't be really there.
Well, Chef Tang, thank you for, you know, telling us about this like feeling of responsibility.
Yes.
To kind of get back into the restaurant business and revitalize Chinatown and see it through its evolution and bring it back. And that's really exciting. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more Feast Meets West.
Today's program was brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. What do you think of when you hear Wisconsin cheese? For me, I think cheese curds. Delicious, fresh, and squeaky cheese curds. Or deep-fried cheese curds. Cheese curds literally any way, anytime, any place. I think about Andy Hatch and Uplands Cheese, the farmstead cheese company behind Pleasant Ridge Reserve. I think of delicious, stinky Limburger and its long-storied history. I think of Dunbarton Blue, made by master cheesemaker Chris Raleigh. I think of Roth's Grand Cru Sirchois, which was named 2016's World Championship Cheese, and Sutari's Black Pepper Bellavitano, the 2017 U.S. Championship Cheese. Wisconsin produces the world's best cheese, with lush grasslands and a glacial water supply that produce the very best milk. Fourth-generation cheesemakers combine old-world tradition with new ideas and the highest standards to make innovative cheeses that win more awards than any other state or country. To learn more, visit wisconsincheese.com.
Welcome back. We're here with Chef Chen Ye Tang and his son James Tang of Hua Yuan. Okay, guys, so what's different about Hua Yuan this time round? How is it different from the Hua Yuan of the 60s and 70s heyday?
So, you know, my dad wanted to bring back traditional great Chinese food, you know, but he realizes that it's, you know, it's the 21st century and some things need to be, I wouldn't say changed at all, but maybe presented and tweaked a little bit different and put into a more modern perspective.
So what are examples of that?
So the we have the classic dishes on the menu that have been there since the 60s. But if you look at the layout of the restaurant, it's very modernized. It's actually beautiful. He wasn't joking when he said he spent time planning every single nook and cranny of the physical layout. So that's one aspect is the actual location. And then in terms of the dishes, the menu, as you've seen, is pretty extensive. I think he can talk more about how he's added more items to the menu.
Yeah, because when I designed this menu, taking me about a year, and I was every night thinking how do I change the menu, introduce a new young generation.
Okay.
And my idea is I want to keep a lot of old-fashioned way, because the old-fashioned way is really traditional Chinese Sichuan food. And something I want to create a new idea, maybe that part of the young generation idea. So like we have a lot of tradition for like a kung pao chicken.
Mm-hmm.
This is very tradition that most of the Chinese restaurants change. I understand why, because they try to save money. Because original chicken, kung pao chicken, use a lot of chicken. It use okay. hot pepper. Got it, that's all. Mm-hmm. But portion should be very normally cost a lot of money for the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of restaurants add green pepper, red pepper, look like portion is big.
Yeah, it looks like something completely different from yes. what you're describing.
Yeah, but the original kung pao chicken is very simple.
Okay.
Just duck meat. Because why we use the kung pao chicken duck meat? Because we believe it, the best chicken part is leg. Because they run in the hill, run in the mountain, they have tender the cue.
Mm-hmm.
So kung pao chicken have to use the duck meat. And use the very right hot pepper and the garlic. So take out the unique sauce. And so when we started put this on the menu and the people order, they always say, oh my God, it's bring back the old memory. Plus I have a lot of dish like a mapo tofu. You name it, every dish I bring back tradition, like a mushy
yeah,
pork.
The ones that people recognize.
Yes, the mushy pork is old tradition because
okay.
I'm the few one chef can remember the old one. I want to introduce
OG it. Chef.
Yeah, I want
first wave.
Yeah, I want to introduce a young generation and say, let's call it tradition. All right, bring back. Because when they grow up, they see the food is different.
Mm-hmm.
They say, this is a wild dish.
Yeah, it's true. It's like a lot of the people who are first, you know, having like an income where they can go out to eat. Now they have a different version of Chinese food
yes.
than what you're used to growing up in Chinatown. Mm-hmm. Right. So, what other notable dishes are you offering at the restaurant? I saw something about duck.
Yes. I was designed because in a Sichuan restaurant, I have a lot of different duck, like smoked duck, like duck, tea flavored duck.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that with the young, anybody come and say, your eyes is, my God, so many duck, you don't know which duck, which one you want to catch. So I found it's, let's catch pecking duck. So I put only one duck.
Okay,
duck.
So focus on the Peking duck.
Duck.
Okay.
And we was designed 3 years to open this restaurant, but we're delayed. Original, we didn't cut. You know. So Peking duck is we cook way is totally different. What's probably in China because the way we cooking is a really old traditional way. Because during the 40s, when during the war, all the chef followed general. The Chiang Kai-shek to the Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the Peking chef is making the Peking duck is completely different a little bit in China.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't say that we judgment any chef from China or whatever, but the old chef was bring the old tradition way.
Sure.
The way we make the Peking duck is a tradition way. And we have to do it a few times, how to marry it, how to do things, all right? And the second thing, our famous dish in our restaurant is very famous to make this restaurant. Besides cold noodle sesame sauce, the dish is fish hot bean sauce called douban yu.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make my family is famous. And we use the traditional way how to make and take about 40 hour, for a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the fresh fish. So everything I try to do is bring back a tradition, but something I want to add new.
Got it. So introducing a new generation to some of the best versions of traditional dishes.
Yes.
I also saw, was there, you know, dishes on this version of the menu that were not on the old Huayuan menu? Are there, like, I thought I saw something with, like, you know, a salad or something American looking.
You see, this is my creation, my idea, because in the young generation, they change the taste. I was in Taipei a lot because I born in Taipei. And I went to a lot of restaurants in Taipei restaurants. I think they probably followed the Italian too much. Every Chinese restaurant in Kusun, they have a Caesar salad, Chinese style. So I said, maybe should I bring back to New York.
Okay.
And I figured maybe I can create a little idea how to make a Caesar salad called Chinese Empire. But I try to put on a menu something. And I think that I should let people maybe try to taste different idea.
Cool. That's why I put it, yeah. So even, you're experimenting. You're trying different things.
Yeah, even I put the what they call the duck, the call the not the. Foie gras.
Yeah. I saw you pointing at your kidney. I'm like, what part of the duck is that?
Suddenly I can't remember.
It's jambura. Good.
Which part? Oh, yeah. Foie gras part.
Okay. And so how has the reception been so far?
Oh, it's been great. You know, we thought it would be a good reception. You know, when we were building the thing out and we had the sign up, when we put the sign up, we had people walking by who were in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, looking in shock. And they would ask the construction crew, they asked my dad, like, is this really Huayuan coming
is
back?
Is this deja vu?
Is this deja vu? And my dad would, you know, would tell them, it's the same place, we're reopening it. It's the same family and everything. So we knew we had some momentum going in from, you know, older generations that had lived in the area that remembered the place. But once we opened, the reception was so much bigger than we expected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something to be said about the word of mouth,
mm-hmm.
Because as we've been, as longer we've been open, the more and more people are coming, and almost all of them say for the newer generations that come, they say they've never had Chinese food like this ever. A buddy of mine ate there last night. He said it's the crispest Chinese food that he's ever had.
Excellent.
And then the older generations that come back, I mean, some of them were a group of lawyers that used to eat there every single day in the 70s, who worked at City Hall. These guys are in their late 60s, came back a few weeks ago, and they said it's like it never changed. The dishes they had taste exactly like they tasted 40 years ago, and they haven't had that in 40 years.
Mm, that's really refreshing feedback.
Yes.
And so I also heard at the same time you guys opened a noodle shop in Chelsea too. So tell me about that. What is that concept?
That's correct. So that's the, you know, we like to call it Huayuan's cousin.
Okay.
Our little cousin. So it's the same, a lot of the same dishes, but it's almost all the dim sum and noodle and dumpling dishes. So it's, I don't want to call it fast food, but it's more Chinese comfort food than fine dining. And it opened about a year or 6 months before Huayuan opened up. And I suggest you try it out. It's a much more chill location. It's right in the middle of Chelsea, and it's good for a quick meal. If you're on the go.
Cool.
So I tell you why, because my father started from the noodle place, be famous in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
My father created noodle mian, beef noodles in Taiwan. When the first Taiwan have the champion say, who's the noodle place? I told my father.
Last year I went to Taipei for the very first time of my life. And there's competing beef noodle soup shops.
When I complained the first time, and I think 5 years ago, they have all the newspaper was mentioned my father, or talk my father. Mm-hmm. My father created beef noodle in Taiwan. The reason, because my father is really chef, well, she's 12 years, so she started training to be the chef. At the time, we have a lot of old soldiers retired, all right, they can't do anything. But my father was created, opened a beef noodle shop in Taiwan called Stan. I asked my father why, you know, because the beef noodle store, we don't have in Sichuan. Sichuan doesn't have any beef noodle soup.
It's not the same flavors.
No, besides, they don't have it before, in 50 years ago, 100 years ago. And I asked why you have a beef noodle soup idea. He told me very funny. He said, you know, the Taiwanese is basically a Buddha. They believe the god Buddha, so they don't eat the beef. Because the cow is going out for the grain to make you rice things. So Taiwanese never eat beef.
Hmm.
So they have a lot of cow oil. So where they use? And my father have an idea. Let us do it. So he started creating beef noodle soup. This is a true story. So when you go to all the famous beef noodle soup in Taipei, they're all working for my family.
Okay.
Everyone working for my, like Yong Kang, like Dongmen. Like, oh, because my father was from Dongmen, Nurumian there. Used to be, I was young, I remember president was coming out of the restaurant. A lot of famous people in our restaurant, you know. I was young, I know that. And I think this is my father's daughter. And why I opened this beef noodle soup is very funny. Because I was, during the time I was doing construction, 42 East Broadway. It take a long time because I have problems with the contract. And I can't wait. I have staff in there. And I have chance to the small store. I say, hey, let's open a noodle shop. Mm-hmm. That's probably easy. That's the idea, come and open beef noodle shop. But this first time I opened a noodle shop, and I recognize, and if I have a chance, I will change it again. Make it more simple, make more nice, more sense, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's that great energy that you have. It's like we have our big banquet hall, but let's also appeal to people who want noodles. And I didn't know about the history of, you know, Shorty Tang and the beef noodle soup history. So there you go.
I give you a copy for the, I give you a copy for news, Chinese newspaper, Wujian Sijianribao, the Dianhebao. But you see, the time I told you what the other thing, I was crying in the night. I was in Taipei take a cab when the compatriot and beef noodle soup. I was driving, get out from some place, invite me for dinner. And the coming out taxi driver said, oh, we started, they asked me where I come from. I said, back from New York, blah, blah, blah. But the guy was saying, oh, you know, we started a computer beef noodle soup. And the cab driver, I don't know him. He said, oh, there's nothing. I knew the Tang Ai, the noodle mean, the Shorty Tang noodle.
Mm-hmm.
He's the founder, he's the best one, blah, blah, blah. I was crying. I was sitting behind, see, nobody, I was crying. I didn't say, I'm his son. I didn't want to jump. Hey, it's my father. I didn't say that.
Yeah,
I just cried.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, I was so shocked. I told you.
That's great.
Really make me shocked.
Wow. That's so cool. Your family has done so much for Chinese cuisine, for Sichuan cuisine, and also for these just like major noodle dishes. And it's really cool to see you guys, you know, come back and, you know, take your place and share that food again with all of New York and more. So I know you guys are already doing a lot, but you know, what's next? What are your goals for the year?
Very simple. Do my job, do my everything right now. I don't want to say anything right now. I want to do my job for 42 Broadway. Make sure everything is right, smooth. Don't think about too much. Cook my food is right. Make people happy. Manager is right. That's why I told my staff, we don't think nothing. Just every time cook your dish, think about this coming up.
With the focus, right?
You focus there. Make everybody be happy. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very simple. You know.
James, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I see my dad and like his devotion to each dish. I mean, he's if one thing is off in one dish, he notices it and he's all over it. I mean, he really cares about each individual detail so much. And, you know, that definitely, you know, spreads to the staff, spreads to me. He's not kidding about how serious and focused he is on making Huayuan great. I want to open more Shorty Tanks, but he,
there you go.
He's
you can simplify
in.
With that formula that your dad is putting in foundation of.
Exactly.
And I guess like one of the questions I typically ask some guests is like, you know, what do you want to be your food legacy? And in this instance, you guys already have one. so that's pretty cool. But I guess it just kind of sounds like kind of doing that all of that with focus, continuing to like excel in the quality of the food. Yeah.
Yeah. I think my dad's goals is pretty obvious. I mean, he wants to make Chinatown amazing. He wants to revitalize it, and he wants to.
It's really ambitious.
Revamp its, you know, its culinary culture.
Yeah, I want the people back to Chinatown. I want the people the China be to do again. Like people happy, so happy, like good quality food.
And you can do that with food.
Yes, yeah. And I think the this is why my cousin right now comes try to make this restaurant be work, be happy. That's why we didn't. You know, I don't want to be a very expensive restaurant. No, I want more people come enjoy. Enjoy Chinatown, enjoy for fun, you know, but wish I can make it successful.
Yeah. That's one thing, though, he really cares about. He really wanted to make Huayuan very accessible. So, I mean, it's geographically out of the way for most people in New York, but he wanted to make sure that it wasn't a super expensive place and it wasn't intimidating and that people who were, you know, from the neighborhood or from wherever would come and love to just try and check it out.
At this time, I was really surprised. When the time we opened this restaurant, I was thinking about maybe you have an 80% Caucasian, or the old people, my father old people, customer coming. But I found right now, I recognize we have a lot of 40%, a lot of young generation. I mean, the young professional Asian kids or whatever the family, or a lot of people come back. And most things make them very appreciated because they start to say, my God, it's really best Chinese food because we never tasted that before. Because my father told me about, my parents told me about this restaurant. And right now, I recognize. And my going things is, do I do right job? Do I do right things, bring young people back? I think yes. Mm-hmm. I want to come back here. Mm. I want to enjoy the tradition Chinese food. You know, that's my goal right now. So I told my staff, just do the job. Make every young people happy. Make everybody happy.
Make everyone. Make young, everybody. Old, returning right. customers, yes. celebrities, yeah. politicians.
We see a lot of family, we see a lot of older customers come with their children. So people who had gone to Huayuan in the 70s or the 80s, bringing their 20 or 30 something year old children now.
Yes.
And it holds a very special place in my heart besides, you know, my grandfather and my dad, because my parents actually met there. So my mom is Caucasian of Irish descent. And she was a Chinese language student and she taught English in Taipei. And when she was home in the States, all of her Chinese friends always took her to their favorite Chinese restaurant, which was Huayuan. And so she loved my grandfather and she, you know, spent a lot of time in Huayuan, and that's how she met my father.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Love story through Chinese food. And that just about wraps up our show for tonight. Great. So thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you.
I'm just so impressed by, number one, of course, the legacy of helping shift the mindset of Chinese cuisine in New York City, but also now your second goal in terms of revitalizing a community. So good on ya. Keep doing that.
Thank you for your marriage.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the best way for our listeners to stay up to date on news from Huayuan?
They can follow us on the internet. We have a Facebook page and an Instagram page. And if they want to come by anytime, we're at 42 East Broadway, right in the middle of Chinatown.
All right. Let's go do it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And just a reminder that Heritage Radio Network has over 30 amazing shows. Please do head on over to heritageradionetwork.org to check them out and click on the beating heart to support the network and become a member today. We'll be back next week with another awesome conversation from the world of Asian food.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.